Once again, to worship the Lord Jesus. Amen. We just thank Him for this privilege tonight. Good to see each one. Let's sing that song in the same key there. We fall down. Amen. To worship Him tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. We fall down. We lay our crown at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus, we cry, holy, 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 we cry, sing it to Him now. Oh, we fall down, we lay our crown at the feet of Jesus, the greatest of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. Cry, holy, 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 cry, holy, holy. Peter and Rachel, their kids are not feeling well. We want to remember them tonight as we go to the Lord in prayer. The Pritchards had a breakdown on the way to church, and I think they'll be along shortly. We want to remember them tonight. Also, this request says, please pray for my nephew, Elijah. He goes tomorrow morning for a test. They think he may have child diabetes. And that's from Sister Chanel. So we want to remember this request tonight as we pray. God will just turn that around. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. God is good all the time, isn't He? Amen. If Brother Jeremy would come, maybe if she plays pleasing. Amen. Would be good tonight. Maybe you have an unspoken request tonight. Please, let me be pleasing.
yes, Lord, and praise. Let everything I pursue be pleasing, O Lord, unto you. Yes, Lord.
Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, it's just an honor and a privilege, Lord, to be in your house once again, Lord. And that song, Lord, is so true, Lord. We desire that all that's said and done, Lord, that would be pleasing to you, Father.
Yes.
Lord, as we come to you in worship this evening, we pray, Father, that you would forgive us, Lord, our shortcomings, our failures, Lord. Cover us with your blood, we pray. Father, we lay these needs at your altar, Lord, and trust, Father, that you would have your perfect will and way, Lord, in each situation. Lord, for the Pritchards that are traveling, we just ask you to keep your angels encamped about them, Lord, and bring them here safely. And Lord, for this child that's going to the doctor tomorrow, Lord, we just ask for a good report, Father, that Lord, we would be certain to give you all the praise and the glory for that, Father. We know, Lord, that there's no sickness, great or small, Lord, that's not within your power, Lord. Father, we just ask now as we turn our hearts to you this evening, Lord, may we just set aside all the cares, Lord, and just may we focus on you, Lord, and as the musicians and the song leader, Lord, work to create this atmosphere, Lord, may we do our part also, Father, and just give you all the praise and worship that you're due, Father. We invite you to come and be with us. Anoint your servant this evening, Lord, as he's no doubt labored to seek your mind. We just ask that you would anoint him, Lord, and bring us that which we have need of. We look to you expecting, Lord, and we give you all the praise and just ask that everything that's said and done, Lord, may be pleasing to you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
You can be seated tonight. Amen. Let's sing that song. Everybody will be happy over there. Is anybody happy over here? Amen. We should be. God has blessed us in so many ways. Amen. We ought to just be really happy. Just revealing His Word to us in this end time. Special message to a special people. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saints of earth shall see the glory shine, where the souls of men shall interact, live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. We'll scout and
God, it will be God over there. There will be the one who saved us and kept us by his grace, and who brought us to that ransom right in fair. We will praise his name forever as we look upon his face. Everybody will be happy over there.
Amen. We're going to ask our ushers to come tonight. It's good to have Brother Steve and Sister Sarah back from their honeymoon, and just good to see them tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just stand once again as we receive the offering tonight. Amen. Sing that song, Love Lifted Me and KG. Are you thankful tonight for his love? Amen. Praise the Lord. Maybe we have a couple. Amen. Love lifted me. Hey, Brother Mark, if you would pray over the altar tonight. Amen. Yes, Jesus.
Nothing else could have.
Let's sing that song in moments like these as Brother Barry gets ready to come tonight. See? Amen. Amen. Moments like these. Praise the Lord. We should never take them lightly, folks. Never know when they could end. The day and hour we're living. Amen. I'm glad we can have these moments tonight to worship our Lord and Savior. Amen. He means everything to me tonight. In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. Let's just worship Him now. Moments like these, I lift up my hand and I sing out a love song. Hallelujah. Singing
together. Heavenly Father, our desire, Lord, is to come together tonight, if for no other reason, just to express our love to you, Lord, to thank you for all that you provide, to thank you, Lord, for all you teach us, to thank you, Lord, for how plain you're making your word today, and how, Lord, you have prepared a place for us to go when we leave here, and we can see, Lord, each passing day, how this world is falling apart, and there are no natural remedies, Lord. There are no political remedies. There's nothing, Lord, that we can put our hope in. Nothing we can attach our anchor to except the rock, which is Christ. We thank you, Lord Jesus, because you make a way for us, Lord, to be able to gather and to be able to do that in peace and in freedom. And Father, we pray tonight now that you would meet with us, Lord. We have several, Lord, who are in need tonight and now with us, and we commit them into your care, Lord, and ask that your blessing would rest upon each one. You're still a healer today, the same as you ever were. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we bind all of our spirits together now and just ask you to come among us and speak to our hearts. We love you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word, and we thank you for eternal life. And ask all of these things in your precious and holy name, the Lord, name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing one more little chorus. Have your way. Have your way. Let's sing that this evening now as we just look to Him. Have your way. Have your way. Holy Spirit, fill our hearts and have your way. As we everybody together now, one more time. Just close your eyes. Just sing it to Him now this evening. Lord, have your way. Yes, have your way. Holy Spirit, fill our hearts and have. Thank you, Jesus. And as we wait, as we pray, speak your word into our hearts and have your way. Praise the Lord. And all God's people said,
amen.
And the pastor said, welcome back to all of you that have been away. Take your Bible, if you don't mind. Let's go to Joshua, the first chapter. Sister Sarah, it's number 7X. That's the one that we need to bring up there, okay? 7X. Final voice of the final age, number 7X. Joshua, the first chapter and verse 1. We'll take a reading tonight and trust the Lord will help us as we draw some conclusions to this subject that we've been dealing with. Verse 1, Joshua 1. After the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even the children of Israel. And every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said to Moses. May the Lord add His blessing. You may be seated this evening. Now, just before we begin this subject here this evening, and I don't want to take much time on this, but let me give you a couple of very quick announcements here. We welcome all of you back. I'm not going to name names, but it's good to have you folks that have been away and away on Mother's Day weekends. It's an honor to have you all back. Sister Shirley Lingle, we want to say that we're glad to have you here this evening, and we're praying for you and your husband, and let him know that we're praying for him, and trust that the Lord will undertake for him. We have on Sunday, we're going to have a choir practice with our choir, and naturally, Sunday is a day when a lot of things go on because everybody's around and everybody's in place on Sunday. But we're trying to do a couple of things all at the same time on Sunday, and so we're trying to work out appropriate times. So the choir, if you're able to meet at 3 o'clock, the practice will start at 3. Then I'm meeting with the group of girls that I've been speaking to at 4 o'clock, and we'll take roughly a half hour, 40 minutes or so with that group of girls. And they know who they are. And then not the next week, but the following week, we'll meet with the guys. So that'll be this Sunday at 3 o'clock and then 4 o'clock. Memorial Day, which is the following Sunday, we're going to have one service. We're going to have one service in the morning instead of two on that holiday weekend. The drums also never got announced this evening, but they're not here. They are away or sorry, they're at home this evening, but they had things happening at home and were not able to get away, so we miss them tonight. I want to share with you just a little testimony. Very often we pray for things and we hear the prayer request part and we don't hear the follow-up. So I'm going to give you the follow-up. In the update recently I sent out to you, I put a little request in there by Brother Fernando da Silva, who is Brother Paulo's father in Portugal, about a little boy who was living in Brazil who had cancer. And that prayer request was sent out around the world, and he sent me a response back, and I want to read it to you. Brother Barry, we trust that all things are fine with you, and I'd like to send you an update about the little boy from Brazil who has leukemia. In the beginning, he was at the hospital with leukocytes in the range of 270,000, and the cancer cells were 98%. Then we prayed, and in the next blood test, the leukocytes fell down to 45,000 and the cancer cells to 75%. Today, we received a new update. The cancer cells fell down for 30%. The little boy received an order to go home. He will continue to take medicine and chemo, and the family is rejoicing with the miracle. And please continue praying for this little fellow. So we're thankful for that report. And I think it's always great to get a good, positive report from that. But that's our God. And I firmly believe, and if you don't mind me repeating, Brother Branham said you can't pray too much. And I think that also means that you can't have too many people praying for a request and approaching God on behalf of a need among the bride of Christ, and God not respond to that. So I think that's a wonderful report. Well, let's deal with this subject here this evening, and I don't want to belabor this point. I belabor a lot of points, but I don't want to belabor this point and talk a little bit about this subject, the final voice of the final age. And let me give you just a very brief little review and a summary here before we look at one last little part that I want to bring to you. Brother Branham, in 1964, he preached this and he practiced this, wherein he said the Bible is in continuity. And all of it blends together. There's no contradiction. It runs together. And we know that's very true. We could give you many, many examples. If you get a contradiction, you got out of the Bible. Because the Bible doesn't contradict itself. It is in continuity completely. So when we come down to preaching a subject, and it doesn't matter what the subject is, you have to find yourself in line or in continuity with the principles found in Scripture. And when you get outside of that, you're going to be in trouble. And that applies to every one of us who minister the Word of God. We got to divide it rightly, and we have to stay with those principles that are found in Scripture, and it's all in continuity, even if we don't understand it at the time. Brother Branham again says in the early part of his ministry that God has set in the church gifts. First the Bible, and I'm strictly a fundamentalist, and if anything doesn't come from the Bible, then it isn't true. I believe that that is God's truth. I'd even go as far as to say that everything that we teach should come from the book of Genesis in some way, because it is a book of beginnings, it is the seed chapter, and it's a very powerful and very important book. Let's just look at this picture again, because I want to remind you of where this came from. When we look in the book of Revelation chapter 10, you're all familiar with it. And this is the little passage where Christ is described in chapter 10, verses 1 to 6. Tell you what, if you don't mind, we're going to do a little Bible reading tonight. Keep your Bible open to Joshua 1. And let's go to Revelation 10, if you don't mind. Let's look at it. I make a lot of assumptions, assuming that everybody's familiar with everything. But let's take a look at it, if you don't mind. I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Remember, John now is looking at this and describing this as he sees it. We know this to be Christ. The book of Revelation is written in symbol form. Symbols, which came from a prophet, need to be interpreted by a prophet. It is not up to opinion or conjecture. It needs to be interpreted by a prophet. And otherwise, you'd be out on a limb, for sure. Like even Brother Branham in the early days, he believed that the Holy Spirit, without a direct word from God, he believed the white horse rider actually was the Holy Spirit, and it was not. So the symbols can look logically like something, and it may not be that way. So it takes a prophet with a direct word of the Lord, to be able to speak and give us an understanding. Verse 2, and he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth. And he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. When the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hands to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that therein are, that there should be time no longer. Only God gets to control time. Right? And this is that one that is described in Revelation 10:1-6. This is Christ. But we would never understand that this is Christ. We never see him unless we saw the next verse and who this is. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. So the unfolding of the revelation of Christ comes because of Revelation 10:7. So that we can see Revelation 10:1-6. Okay? So if you don't see Revelation 10:7, you're not going to see 1-6. It doesn't follow in chronological order, right? In other words, lots of people know about Jesus and Jesus of Nazareth, but they have no idea really who the Jesus of this day is. They don't understand about the light of this hour. So Revelation 10:7 reveals that one to us in his entirety, because it says the full mystery of God should be finished. So there will be a conclusion of the mystery of God in this hour. But the chapter doesn't stop there. In verse 8 it says, and the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall be make thy belly bitter, and it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and as it was in my mouth, sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. And now we know that when Brother Branham was taken off the scene, it was not the end of the preaching of the revelation of Jesus Christ. You are the preaching of the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is not just you saying the words, it is you living the revelation of Jesus Christ in this time. You are the people that embrace that revelation and bring that message to the world. And you are that final voice to the final age. Okay? Now, so that's the picture. That's the time frame that we find ourselves in. I'm a timeline guy. I was thinking graphically how I could say this. So in the end, Satan's going to fight that final voice to the final age, like Satan has fought every voice to every age. Right? Because the voice is how the life comes, how the understanding comes. And if Satan could do it, he's going to stop that final voice to the final age. So we find ourselves now in a time where in the center of the road, you have a bride who is forward thinking. And they are forward thinking and they are forward leaning. In other words, you know, we are looking to what God is going to complete. We can say with a surety that the capstone of Brother Branham's ministry is a change of our bodies and us ascending into glory without going through the door of death. The capstone of that ministry in the last day is to take a bride right off the earth who will sit in the wedding supper without having to taste the pain of death. So that's who we are, and that's where we find ourselves. And whether we are a part of it or not, I believe we are, that bride is in the middle of the road. She is forward-leaning, she's balanced, she's centered on the Word of God, right? And she's sensitive to the voice of God, growing ever sensitive to the voice of God, because we all want to be right, we all want to be in the middle of the road. Our business is not to condemn or to downplay anybody else's role or criticize anybody else. It's not our role at all. However, whenever that voice of God sounds in the earth, that Satan is always going to attack that voice in one way or another. So we have people on one extreme or the other. We have people that say, oh, we don't need to have a ministry at all. We don't need to have somebody to take the book and prophesy again. Just let Brother Branham do it. To me, that would be like staying in the wilderness of Jordan and looking at Moses while the children of Israel under Joshua possess the land. Doesn't work. On the other extreme, you had the people who live in denial and preach denial. They don't believe that God sent a prophet at all. They don't believe that there's been an end-time message. They don't believe in Malachi 4. They don't, on the other extreme. And you have that. And Brother Branham had extremes in both sides, or in his ministry, and the fanaticism that followed him as well. And so that's what we find. But let me tell you something. It isn't just the bride against these extremists on one side or the other, because we're not in control. Christ is in control. Right? And he's the one that we follow. And let anybody else follow him if they will. But I'll tell you what, I'm following him. I'm not here to fight other people that don't believe what I believe. I'm here to believe Christ. I'm here to follow Christ. I'm here to be in a spiritual union with Christ. We are enjoying an invisible union with Christ. And lots of other people are saying lots of other things. You know what? That's not my revelation. That's not my business. It's not my worry. My worry is I want to be right with God. I want to be in the center of his will. I want to be following him all the way to the very end. That's how I feel about it. Brother Branham said it this way. He was talking about Mary, and he talked about how when Mary received the commandment she did and the promise she did from the angel, she didn't question a thing. If God said so, that settles it. If God said so, that makes it right. Now, he's the final voice on all authority. He has all of the authority of everything. God has the supreme authority. So in the end, God's going to have his way, isn't he, if he's the supreme authority? That's the way it is. So now, let's take a look at this. Let's just expand this a little bit further. I've read this quote to you before. Will the Bride of Christ, they were asking Brother Branham in 1963, will the Bride of Christ have a ministry before the rapture? In other words, is it all going to end with you? Like, are we all going to just ride out on your coattails, jump in your chariot and go? Or will the bride have a ministry? And Brother Branham says, sure. That's the short answer. He said, that's what's going on right now. The Bride of Christ? Certainly. It is the message of the hour, the Bride of Christ. Sure. She consists of apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists and pastors. That's the Bride of Christ. Amen. That's who we are, right? So will the bride have a ministry? Yes, sir. The bride will be ministered to, and the bride will become a ministry to this world, to the total lost. You believe that? That's why your witness is important. Your witness not only of your words or giving somebody a spoken word book or whatever, but your life is also a witness. It's a preaching. It's a testifying that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I went to, I had some problems with my back, as you know, a little while ago, and I went to a specialist the other day, and he looked at it, and I was telling him about my back and how I actually did it. What he was saying is that really only an MRI can look in there and tell definitively, what's going on with the discs and is there any inflammation and so forth, because x-rays don't always show up everything, and an MRI will do it. And I said, I had one of those once. I said I had a problem with my lower back. It was years ago. And I went to a back spine specialist, and he did an MRI and looked at it. And I said, I could look at it, and he could look at it, and you could tell there was something really squirrely going on. It was really, really out of whack. And he said, we're going to try something. And this was back years ago. He said, we're going to give you a medication. And he said, we're going to try this for a little while. And if that does not work, he says, you're a candidate for surgery. As he said, one disc is completely gone. The other one's ruptured. It's bulging. And he said, it's pressing against your spine. So it's causing all your pain and so forth. And it was pretty rough. And after I received that doctor's report, and he gave me the copy of the MRI, I still have it. I could show it if you like. But after I came back from that doctor, I got together with the family, and we just had a word of prayer, a very simple word of prayer. And I was telling this fellow the other day, because this was a new injury. I'm a man of multiple injuries, and I was telling this fellow the other day, I said, and then I was a little reluctant, because all medical people don't receive this testimony real well, but I said, I got to tell you, I believe I was healed. Because I said, that lower back problem, I never had any problem at all. I said, it's gone, and I've never had any problem with that since at all. And somebody said, because that's our testimony. So it should be something that comes natural to us, that, hey, we have a story to tell. We have a God that we serve who's alive. He's not dead. He's not off in a corner somewhere, right? Brother Andy Coffey was telling me a testimony a little while back about Taylor and how that after one Sunday evening, and Taylor had a bad fever, high fever, and they knew they were probably going to have to take her into urgent care. And this fever wasn't going away anywhere, and they laid hands on her and prayed for her, and felt like they touched the hem of God's garment that evening when they prayed. And they waited a little while and said, well, if her fever doesn't go down, we'll take her on to urgent care. And the fever didn't go down at all. And they and I might not have all of the details just exactly right, but by the time they got into the urgent care and the nurse took her temperature again, and I think Brother Andy had prayed for her outside, just going into the place there, and prayed again and said, Lord, I believe that we got through on that first time in praying, but we're going to bring her in here and just entrust her into your care. By the time she was still burning up out in the car. By the time they got inside, that nurse took her temperature. It was absolutely normal. And the nurse said, this girl has had a high fever. We can tell. And her tests and so forth show she's had a high fever, but she doesn't have it now. They waited another couple of hours to see what was going to happen. Nothing happened, and they went home. Hey, it's not a big showy thing. It doesn't have to be a big thing. It's just simple faith, where we take our hands and lay it on somebody and pray for them and believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And those should be our testimonies. Brother Bram says, yes, sir, we have a ministry in this last day. It's not a ministry like Malachi 4 had a ministry. It's not a ministry that goes around the world attracting huge crowds and, have hundreds of thousands of people healed. It's not a message in a ministry like that to attract the world's attention to what's coming fresh from God. Because we have got what came fresh from God. And we're still receiving what comes fresh from God. But Brother Branham had a ministry to draw attention to his ministry versus all the other ministries that were ongoing and moving around in the world in that particular time, because God was going to use that microphone, that channel, to speak to the world a message about rapturing faith and about the opening of the seals and the opening of the Word. And so God drew attention to that ministry on purpose. We don't have that kind of a ministry now in the same way. So it's not compared to his, but will we have a work to do in the earth? Yes, sir. Will we have a testimony? Yes, sir. Will we prophesy again? Yes, sir. The Bible says so, right? Are young people involved in that? Absolutely. Are old people involved in that? Yes, sir. Are middle-aged people involved in that? Yes, sir. Every one of us, if you're a member of the Bride of Christ, we're involved in this ministry that he's describing right here. Are we okay with that? So it includes you, it involves you, because you are a part of that bride. Now, in the adoption message, Brother Branham says, I said, well, will Paul have to bring his group? And I said, yes, sir, he's beyond the curtain of time. And I said, I preach it just exactly like Paul said it. I never divvied, I never took it into any church creeds or anything else. I stayed the same. And they responded over on the other side, we're resting on that. And Brother Branham had tied and did in all of his ministry, he had tied his ministry and his work in the earth with that first age under the Apostle Paul as well. And so there's a connection between it. Paul references the last day in the harvest season when another message will come. And Brother Branham turns and he also references Paul in the first church age. And there's a continuity between the two. Now, Paul, as we said, and I'm just doing just a couple of scripture verses in review here again, that Paul referred to himself or described himself as a master builder. And he did not describe himself as the only builder, but he was a wise master builder who had laid a foundation. But he said there would be others who would come and build thereon, but just take heed how you build thereon. And in a season like this, if we're still in the building phase, and we are, I believe we're in the completion phase. We're not in a foundation time. We're in a completion phase, right? Then we need to have good builders involved in the building project. Because there is false doctrine, we need to have good doctrine. Right? Because we have false teachers, we need to have good teachers in this hour. And Paul is not in any way making his work exclusive. Like, I'm the master builder, I'm the only one. He says, no, another will build thereon. Now remember, the Corinthian church had a problem with a fanaticism about Paul. They had an affection towards Paul. Like, Paul's the only one that can minister to us. Paul's the only one that can preach. He's the only one that's got the truth. And Paul was trying to disallow that. He was trying to discourage that because he wanted the other people he wanted the Corinthian church to receive the ministry that were coming to them and realize this is not just about Paul, But this is about God who actually brings the increase for all the seed that are sown and all the ministry that's done. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom he believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos has watered, God gives the increase." So I've got a job to do, Apollos got a job to do, this brother's got a job to do, and that one's got a job, you know, Tychicus, he's got a job, Timothy's got a job to do. They're all given different types of ministries. They come among you to make full proof of their ministry, but you know what? God is the one that gives the increase. God is the one that brings the growth among the people. So then neither is he that planteth anything, which is Paul, he's referring to himself, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. So Paul says, don't fall into the trap of lifting me up to a place where I'm like your Savior, and I'm like Jesus Christ, or I'm in a place that I'm not supposed to be. I have a job to do. And I'm commissioned, God has given me on the road to Damascus, and God's given me a certain commission to bring light to the Gentiles. And we know in that commission, he was also ordained to, untie the knots of the Old Testament and bring clarity to who all those types and symbols spoke about. So that he could say, and the people could say, that Jehovah of the old is Jesus of the new. Are you with me tonight? And he said, that's my job that God's given me, but I'm not the only one with a job, because there's lots of jobs to be done to this New Testament church. There's lots of foundation work. There's lots of sowing. There's lots of watering. There's lots of cultivating. There's lots of weed gathering out of the field here. And there's all kinds of men doing that. He that planteth, verse 8, and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are laborers together with God. He did not say, now I am the only laborer for God. He said, we, plural, are laborers, plural, for God. We are all working together. And he said, and ye are God's building. Ye are what God is actually working on. But remember, God gives the increase. And everybody who's involved in that building process, we are just members of the bride. We're members of the body just like you are. But God's given us a special commission to do a certain thing. And God's given certain ministers certain special qualities and commission in order to accomplish greater things, because God works only through one man, right? When it comes to a major prophet and bringing the word of the Lord, God always chooses one man, because that's what the Bible says. Are we okay? So Paul tells Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, and shun feign and profane babblings and so forth. There will be opposition. There will be disputes. There will be arguments. There will be gainsayers. There will be antagonists. But you know what you should do? Make full proof of your ministry. Study. Give yourself to the Word of God. Give yourself to the message. It knows what it's doing. God's put insight into this message. God's put direction in this message. God, come on. God's put life in this message. God's put great truth in this message here. The Holy Spirit knows how to guide you. You just get into that. Study that. Lay yourself on that. And let the Holy Spirit take control of those that believe it. And watch where God takes you. Just because there's opposition, and just because there's argument, and just because there's websites, and just because there's gainsayers, and just because there's people who believe it should be done that way or this way, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit knows what He's doing. You just got to get in the same channel with the Holy Spirit. I do, and you do as well, because you're a part of this. Watch in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Because you will have afflictions, you will have criticism. Hey, I get criticism all the time. That doesn't make the message wrong. Not at all. And if you want to be in the ministry and you can't take criticism, don't be in the ministry. All right, things that are to be. Brother Branham comes along and does the same thing. In other words, he's saying what Paul said. Watch what he repeats here. This is 1965, December. He's not going to be around in a month's time. He says, now we know this is the last day of salvation. This is the day of salvation, where God is calling men from the world, from a life of sin, unto a life of service. God's still calling men to do a job within the body. I'm very thankful for those open doors that I've heard, and the inspiration it's given to young men like your pastor here. And as I'm beginning to get old and know that my days are numbered, and know now these young men can take this message and sweep it on to the coming of the Lord. So if in reality My days are numbered, and I'm not going to be around when this winds up and this is all over. I'm thankful to see these other young men rising up around me that'll take this message on and bring the bride home. He said, if it doesn't happen, if it doesn't come in my generation, if it doesn't happen in my generation, folks, believe it's going to happen. And God's going to have a ministry to that bride in the last day. Even if I'm not around, they will be ministered to, and she will become a ministry to this world, the last voice to this final age. Believe that? So Brother Branham's not saying, look, folks, I'm getting old. We got to shut this thing down. Just stay with me right here. Stay with the tapes and don't go any farther. We don't find anywhere where he even suggests that or intimates that at all. The idea is keep going on. We're not there yet. We're not at the wedding supper. We're not in glory. You're not in a new body. We're not in the millennium yet. Keep going. God will give you everything you need to get there. Even if I'm not here, God will get you there. And you'll find that we could provide hundreds and thousands of statements that verify the same thing. And so, in other words, let me say this. You don't need to go to Voice of God to see the voice of God today. Paul said, ye are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Back in those days, they didn't have tapes, right? They had epistles, so they had letters. They had scrolls. So Paul was essentially saying, ye are our tapes. You are our scrolls. Because what we're preaching, that's who you are becoming. And he said, so therefore, if people want to see the message, they ought to look at who believed the message that is preached in truth. And you'll see living epistles known and read of all men. You understand what he's saying? That if we believe this message, let me tell you, we are Jeffersonville. We are the voice of God. Are you okay? Amen. We are the reflection of Christ in our time. If we believe that, Paul says, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. In other words, the Holy Spirit is not so much concerned about the literal book itself. He's interested in writing this message onto your heart, and that becomes the real message to the world. That's the message the Holy Spirit's interested in. He's not interested in whether, you know, this tape is copied here, or this book is printed here, or who translates this book, or whatever else. That's not what he's after. The Holy Spirit's not going to wind up at the end and collect all the books and tapes. He's going to collect all the hearts that have become this message. Does that make sense? That's a very important thing, folks. That's a very important thing for us to understand. But let's go on now and look at what else Brother Branham says in relation to this. Because Paul and him are going to be saying the same thing. In the church age book, the church is no longer the mouthpiece of God, the nominal church out there. It is its own mouthpiece. So God is turning on her, and he will confound her through the prophet and the bride, for the voice of God will be in her. So where's the voice of God today? It's in the bride. Because Brother Branham is dead. Are we okay? Hey, listen, the Bible says that Moses was dead. Is it all right if I say that Brother Bram's dead? I don't believe Brother Bram's dead. I believe his body's dead, but I believe he's over on the other side waiting for us. I believe we'll see him. I don't believe he'll come back and get in the tent or get in the plane, drive around, fly around. Hey, they can refurbish the plane all they want, and they have. But I'll tell you what, I believe we'll see him when we get over on the other side, not on this side over here. Are you okay with that? The voice of God will be in her. So therefore, you become the living in epistles known and read of all men. Go wake Jesus, 1963. Jesus said to them, search the scriptures. They will tell you what I am. I don't have to say I'm Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, or whatever else. The life you live, the words of God, if you're a part of that living word, how can you deny what you are? Words in white. And how can the word keep from confirming what you are? If you are. That should have been yellow. That should have been yellow. Let's read it again. Jesus said, search the scriptures, didn't he? He said, you look in the scriptures. You remember I told you before about the Chinese laundry ticket? Right? And if you got half and the laundryman got half, you know, you could match those two. Jesus said, search the scriptures, half. And look at my ministry, half. If they match, bingo, you have who the scriptures describe. Right? Brother Branham said, I don't have to say, I shouldn't have to say, well, I'm in the message. I shouldn't have to convince people I'm in the message. The life I live, the words I say, the music I listen to, the content of my phone, all of that, and the work of the Holy Spirit would reflect who I really am. And how can the Word keep from confirming what you are if you are? So God will make known your ministry and your testimony. God will make known your life. God will develop that life and begin to show it. Because if we are born in the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, it's going to bring forth an incorruptible life. Isn't that right? Not a non-tempted life, because all of us are tempted because we have the life. We are all tempted because we have the life. As soon as you stand up as a Christian, the devil is right there to tempt you and throw everything he can at you. And make you feel bad, make you discouraged, you know, cause you to hold back and draw back and quit and everything else. Because we have the life, that's what Satan attacks. That doesn't mean he corrupts the life. That only means he attacks the life. He couldn't corrupt Jesus, but he attacked Jesus. Isn't that right? All the time. He was sending lawyers. He was sending scribes. He was sending people who tried to stone him. He was sending, people who lied. All kinds of people came against Jesus in his day because that's where the life was. The apostles did not have anybody come against them while Jesus was on the earth because the life was in Christ. But as soon as Jesus died and that Holy Spirit came back, looped back, and came back in the new church, in the New Testament church, then Satan started to fight that church because that's where the life was. And then by the same token, because we have token life, doesn't mean that we don't have temptations. We have lots of them because that's where the life is today, is in the bride of Christ. And so Brother Bram said, the life you live in the words of God, he said, if you are part of that living word, how can you deny it? So therefore, let me just say this about Brother Branham. Let's go back, if you don't mind, Exodus chapter 17. Exodus the 17th chapter. Come on, if you got your Bible, let's go back and look. Exodus the 17th chapter. This is a unique story here. In the time of battle, when Amalek fought with Israel in Rephidim. I'm in Exodus 17, verse 8, reading verse 9. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rest of, with the rod of God in mine hand. And Joshua did as Moses had said to him. And he fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So Moses is actually up there standing on the hill like this. He's got the rod in his hand, and he's up, and the people see him. When they see him, the battle goes well. Verse 11, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. What does Aaron represent? But the ministry, the high priest, Aaron and Hur. They stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the one on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Their victory depended on Moses having his hands up and the people being able to see Moses with the rod and his hand held high. But what did the ministry do? They did not come along and grab that stick and say, now look at me. They didn't do that. But while Moses was there, they stood there and they held up Moses' hand. You know why? Because that's a prophet of God who's standing there. But they did not jerk that javelin out of his hand and say, you old man, you know, what are you doing here? You can't do that. Let me do that. And they didn't do that at all. But they held up his hand. And they had a great respect, and I believe we all should have a great respect for Brother Branham and his ministry. And this is what they did. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Now watch now. Watch how important this becomes. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it, one of the seven compound redemptive names of God. That's how important this was. Do you think it was Moses' flesh that God was calling Jehovah Nissi here? No, sir. But it was the fact that God is with this ministry. God is with this prophet. God is, hey, listen, the word of the Lord comes to this man. And God honored that, and the people held that up. They respected that. And this was now going to be named this place, this altar. It was going to be named Jehovah is our banner. Our banner is the word of God. Our shield is the word of God. Our God protects us. Our God defends us. Our God provides a way. And that's what Jehovah Nisi actually means. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And so God wanted Moses to remember this time here and to realize that this prophet, being a mighty man used of God and having the word of the Lord, hey, listen, it's not Moses' physical being that caused the battle to go right. It was the presence of the Spirit of the Lord and people respecting that presence. That's what caused the battle to go right. Hey, listen, that's how we win all of our battles, right? We don't win our battles because of strength. We were talking last night at supper about, you know, all the traveling that we do. And by God's grace over all the years, you know, never having had a bad traffic accident and so forth. And I, in my humorous way, I said I attribute that to the grace of God and my fine driving. I wanted to remind my family. But then I quickly corrected that and said, I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that because it's not my fine driving at all. It's the grace of God that gets us where we get by the grace of God. Because I believe he protects us even more than we realize. I used to rail on people who hit deer. I thought, how in the world can you miss a deer? I mean, people who hit a deer with a vehicle, you know, a rabbit, one thing, a kitten, one thing. But a deer is this big, you know, 200 or 300 pounds. My goodness, how in the world can you hit a deer? Until I hit one. Christ the mystery God revealed. Brother Branham said, watch now. Brother Nibble goes through many strains and heartaches that he doesn't show it here at the tabernacle. But being the Lord lets me have a little sight into people's life. I know what he goes through. A whole lot, I see. A whole lot of it, see. And he certainly goes under a lot of labor and strains and things. And you know, you people here, you ought to hold up my arms like Joshua and Caleb held up the hands of Moses. That's not what he said. He said, you people hold him up like Aaron and Hur held up the hands of Moses as he's bringing the word. Folks, it's the bringing of the word. It's not Brother Barry that's causing us to live a Christian life. Right? It's the word of the Lord that's lifted up. It's the word of the word of the Lord that's elevated. It's the word of the Lord that's projected. It's the Holy Spirit that's honored when we come together. It's your church order, or your church order and your worship and all of that. That's what's projected. That's what God honors. And let me tell you something. It's not that we got all the routine down pat, but we create an atmosphere into which he can come. And when he comes, he can answer all questions. He can heal all diseases. He can help us in every situation we find ourselves in, right? Even if we're the problem, he can help us. So it isn't the physical pastor. It isn't physically Brother Neville. But we show the right respect to God when we show the right respect to God's servants who are holding up the word of the Lord. Right? All right. So we find in Joshua chapter 1, we find this idea of a new order. Now, if you don't mind, take your Bible. Well, I know you got it open there in Exodus chapter 3. I didn't put all these down here because I wanted you to see these in your own Bible verses here. God made promises to Moses in this chapter right here in Exodus chapter 3 that were unfulfilled in his lifetime, but completed in the lifetime of the members who followed him in the generation that followed. Let me say it again. God made promises that were unfulfilled in Moses' lifetime, but were completed in the lives and the ministries of those who followed. This is the plan. There is no plan B with God, by the way. This is plan A, and it's the only plan. This is what he said to Moses at the burning bush. I am the Lord God of thy father. Verse 6, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, and Moses. And Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. The time has come, and because the time has come, they're crying out to me. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of their land, number one, unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, into the place of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Let me ask you, did Moses bring the people into that land of the Canaanite and the Perizzite and the Amorite and the Hittite? No, sir. But it's all wrapped up in one sentence here. This is the plan. And Moses, I'm going to use you to bring these people out. But God didn't tell Moses at that point there's going to be another generation that's going to rise up and possess the land. There's going to be another one rise up. But now he says in verse 9, "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I also have seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now thither, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh." I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you this commission here. And God does not, listen, God does not come down to every member of the children of Israel. He does not come down to all of them and say that I'm going to deliver you now. I'm going to take you out. He doesn't go row by row and person by person, family by family, and give them the plan. He gives the plan to Moses. And Moses goes down into Egypt right among the people again. And the way the people understood that God was with them was when this prophet showed up with the word of the Lord saying, "Now is the time. Now we're going home." That's how they knew God was with them. Are you following me? So God doesn't have to come down to us and explain everything to us. By virtue of what God's doing, we can see from the scripture, this is that which is being fulfilled. Hey, that's God among us. Because God says, "I'm come down and to deliver you," right? Hey folks, when you look at Brother Branham and his ministry and the match that his ministry is to the prophecies about that end time ministry, it's for us to conclude, my goodness, he's either of God or he's not. I believe that he is of God. You know what? It's God with us. Are you okay? God moved in our time. God did a great thing in our time. I believe it. They had to believe that just because Moses was there enacting deliverance, that was God with them. And this is God with us. Because this is not the first Exodus, this is the third one. And this is God with us. Getting us out of here, this is God's plan to get us from here to the new body. Right? So, Brother Branham says in Experiences 1947, remember, their leader Moses all the time was a type of Christ. But Moses never took the people across Jordan. There was a new order came. Joshua took the people across. Doesn't say that in verse 8 here when he gives Moses a commission. But this is the plan. Moses, I'm giving you the plan. I'm not going to tell you how I'm going to execute it all, but I'm going to give you the plan. Here it is. God never gave anybody else in the camp the plan. God never even went to Joshua and said, "By the way, Joshua, here's the plan, and you're going to be a part of it. I'll let you know later." He doesn't do that. He just gives it to Moses, and Moses comes into the camp. That's God with us. But Joshua took the people across. And friends, our great organization is not going to take the church across Jordan. Joshua came in on the scene. And I believe if there's ever a time, this is 1947, I believe if there's ever a time when in all church history, that voice is now. There's a stirring now and rise. We're going across Jordan now. And the church has been pulled through everything and broke up in sects and denominations and so forth. But he said, now's the time. In other words, there's a stirring already in the camp. But God is not coming down to every individual in those congregations and saying, "Here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do." The fact that a prophet shows up is a sign to the people that God is with us. Everybody didn't catch it in the days of Moses. Everybody doesn't catch it today. Now, you got to watch this next quote. Because if God's dealing with this major prophet as he is, then, hey, listen, why don't we lay everything down, lay down our ministries, and we just follow that prophet. Look what Brother Branham says in 1964. That was 47. This is 1964. Notice, only Moses had the word, and there wasn't a group, came down. Wasn't the Pharisees, Sadducees in a certain sect or clan? It was Moses. He got one man. That's why God deals with a major prophet on the earth. He said he got one man, can't get two or three different minds, but Moses had the word of Moses alone. Joshua didn't even have it. No one else had it. Joshua was a general, commander of the army. Joshua was a believer, a Christian, but Moses was a prophet. And the word can't come to Joshua. It's got to come to Moses. He was a major prophet of the hour. And if you stop right there, you're going to be in trouble. Because he says, notice the word never did come to Joshua until Moses was gone. So was Moses the only one ever to receive the word? No, sir. But while Moses was on the earth, he's the hands that we lift up. But now when Moses is taken off the scene, here's Joshua. Now God begins to deal with Joshua. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. Right? Did God tell that to Moses back here? No, sir, he didn't. Eventually, he told Moses, take Joshua out, put him in the center of the congregation, lay your hands on him, put part of your anointing on him, because I'm going to do a work later on. And I don't want there to be any misconceptions at all in the congregation who's the man that's to follow and lead the children of Israel. So I want you to do that now. Lay your hands on the man that's coming next. Because God knew it wasn't all going to happen in the lifetime of Moses. God knew how this was going to unfold. And you know what? I believe, I'm just simple enough to believe, that God knew how it was all going to unfold in our time. And God knew that He was going to take Brother Branham off the scene, and everything didn't stop right there. But God said, I got a bride that's going to have a ministry in the last day, and she's going to eat the book and prophesy again. I feel like I'm prophesying again tonight. Now, I believe that there will be a people then who are equipped by God to do exactly what needs to be done to get this message to the people. And I believe that there will be a people who will carry on in the continuation with the heart of this message, because God's requiring faithful men. Just exactly what God needs in the first church age. God needed in the first church age. I believe that God also needs faithful men in this last day. And I believe that's exactly what's taking place. So when we go to Joshua chapter 1, if you don't mind, take your Bible and go back to Joshua chapter 1. Let's take a look. And let's look how God talks to Joshua here. Joshua chapter 1, and we've read verse 1 and 2. He says, my servant is dead, and now you're going to possess the land, every sole of your foot, from the wilderness, verse 4, and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites. And unto the great sea, the Mediterranean, toward the going down of the sun, that shall be your coast. So God's very careful even in describing the land they're going to possess. He doesn't say this to Moses, but he tells this to Joshua. And there shall not be any man stand before thee all the days of thy life. And as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. And that must have been comforting for Joshua to hear. 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the left hand nor to the right, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The book of this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Who wrote the law but Moses? Moses is mentioned by Joshua and God over 70 times in the book of Joshua. I said, Moses is mentioned at least 70 times in the book of Joshua by God and by Joshua. You know why? Because these people are not intending at all. God, Joshua, and the people are not intending to deviate from the message of the hour. They're continuing on in the spirit and the light of the message of the hour. Because the message of the hour contained the original commission to get my people back out of that land of bondage and back into the land that God promised Abraham. And you know what? Our commission hasn't changed at all. Even though Brother Branham's not here, our commission is still the same. Come out of here, my people, and let's enter into that promised land. There's a wedding supper for the bride of Christ. Yeah. And you know what? Hasn't changed a lick, has it? That's still our message. That's still what we believe. That's still where we're pointing to. But understand now. And God reaffirms this to Joshua, and Joshua affirms in himself that there was nobody like Moses when it came to how God dealt with him. I mean, he talked lip to ear. Was there ever any man who I spoke lip to ear? He said, I came to other people in dreams and visions and so forth, but Moses, I spoke lip to ear. And I dealt with him, and I gave him personal information, and I told him, you know, certain things about what was going to happen. And he had the revelation of the purpose of God to deliver the people and take them out of that land of bondage and to bring them into that promised land. Let me tell you, I've never had a sword drop in my hand. I've never had the angel of the Lord come into my window in my study and tell me, don't preach that, preach this. I've never had that. And God dealt with those prophets in a special way. God dealt with those prophets in a unique way. And we could never, I mean, it would be ludicrous to try to impersonate it. It would be silly to try to stand up and say, God deals with me the same way that he deals. He doesn't. He doesn't, because I have a commission that's different than the commission that God gave to Brother Branham. But the message doesn't change. The plan doesn't change. There is no plan B. There is no alteration of the plan. If God gave the plan's got to be perfect, right? If God gave the message has got to be perfect. Because that was what God gave Moses, was a message to give to the people. And that caused the deliverance, and that caused the placing of the people in the land. They all came to that place of adoption and maturity eventually under the message of the hour. Joshua didn't come up with a new message at all. He only applied what Moses gave. And let me tell you, they won. They won the battle. They got into the land, and they possessed that land according to what God said. And there's no changing in the message in our time either. We should be not looking for someone to change the message or to come up with something new. I believe we still walk in the spirit of this same message that God's given to us. But here's the difference. We walk now. Brother Branham said, "What is the attraction on the mountain?" 1965. And about that time, the prophet turned and said, "Behold, here comes the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." This is John the Baptist. When he turned and he saw Jesus coming to the river, what did he say? Now what's the attraction? It's changed from the prophet to his prophecy. Does that make sense? John is standing in the river, you know, and he's speaking about, hey, Jesus is coming. And people came out to see John. But John finally says, hey, folks, this is who I've prophesied of. This is the prophecy that I gave you. This is the word I gave you. This is the promise, according to Scripture, that I outlined to you. This is that. Now this becomes less important because that's a fulfillment of what I gave you. Hello, Brother Bram's preaching this to us. Now what is the attraction on the mountain? What is the attraction now? Brother Bram's grave? What's the attraction now? Listening to a tape of Brother Branham? I don't mean to be disrespectful. You understand what I'm saying when I say that? You can listen to a tape of Brother Branham. I listen to tapes of Brother Branham. I have about 7 or 8 of them in my truck here I carry around, and things I listen to and sermons and so forth. Because I believe in it. I love it. I think it's tremendous. But you know what? We've switched from the prophet to the prophecy. This is what he spoke about. Do you realize you are what he preached for? You are who God gave his ministry for. God gave him that ministry so you could be here. God, we are the fruit of his ministry. And we are what he was talking about. A bride united with Christ. A bride in union with Christ. Come on, folks. It isn't just a bunch of people come out of a denominational church and sitting in another independent church. That's it. Let me tell you, that's not it. It's much more than that. It is a bride come out and in union with Christ. Amen. Isn't that what this is about? Isn't that what this really is? Is the bride of Christ joining with him? Finally, the capstone and the body come together, and then he takes that church away, and they're gone in the wedding supper, in the rapture, to meet the rest of the body that's already gone over there. We believe by faith they're already there waiting for us, and one day we'll join with them on the other side, and we'll be together forever. This is the last of the last. This is the capstone people. This is the capstone prophecy coming to pass right in your midst here, and you thought this was just a Wednesday night. This is the final voice to the final age, letting you know what your real identity is. Your real identity is not just a church member who used to be a Baptist and used to be a Pentecostal. You came to the realization your real identity was a member of the Bride of Christ. And this is what Brother Bram prophesied about. This is what he talked about. Talk about that Christ would come to a people and we're pulled out of this world. Hey, we're still in these human bodies. In the human bodies, I got to remind you, these human bodies are full of mistakes. They're full of failures. They're full of insecurities. They're full of inconsistencies. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. They're full of things that you wish you never had to drag around with all your life. And you long to get out of it and get one day into a real body that really befits who you really are. Amen. Because by faith, I believe I'm a real perfect son of God on the inside. I just got to get there. I got to get there. And there's something in me that's drawing to that place. And one day, by God's grace, we'll get there. And the hearing of this word are the vitamins for your theophany that causes you to grow and to stand and to thirst and to develop muscles so that you can get over there on the other side one day. I've told you about muscles before. How my boys used to be little. When they all fit in the grocery cart, When my boys, believe it or not, were all little enough to fit in the grocery cart, and we'd be wheeling through the aisles of the supermarket, I'd be following Sister Becky around. I'd have them all in the cart. And the carts of the aisles of a supermarket are all very wide. The aisles are all very wide until you come to the checkout. And in the checkout, it's all within the reach of little hands, right? The candies, the chips, the jerky, and the magazines. And the newspapers. The ones that announce that Elvis has just been sighted on the moon and a monkey gets admitted to Harvard and so on and so forth, right? All those magazines. And they also had the magazines that had those guys with all the muscles on them, right? My guy, some of my guys are leaning out the edge of that cart, over the edge, and they said, "Dad, wow, look at those muscles. Wow, look at those muscles. Wow, he's got muscles on top of muscles." And I looked at the guys and I said, "Guys, put that magazine down. I've got exactly the same muscles as that guy does." And they laughed just like you laugh. Go ahead. And I told them, I said, "The difference between me and that guy is only one thing, that he's taken his time to exercise all those natural muscles. That's all." Brother Branham said this, "No, John Anthony, you don't have the muscles." He's flexing over there in front of Lucas. You don't. Brother Branham said, "If you're a seed of Abraham, the same faith that was in Abraham is in you." But you know what? Sometimes we feel like we don't have the faith. You know why? Because we don't exercise it. Abraham exercised his faith every day. He confessed those things that were not and called those things that were not as though they were. Right? He exercised his faith every day. When people said, "Ah, you're not going to have a child at your age," he said, "Yes, I am. God gave me the promise." And he exercised his faith. And therefore, Brother Branham said he had faith muscles. And he said, "If you're a seed of Abraham, you got the same faith muscles as Abraham did. But you know what we got to do? We got to exercise them now, because this is our day to exercise our faith muscles." So for me, I told the boys, "I got the same muscles as those guys do. They've just exercised them all day long, all night long in the natural. And I've just chosen the better part. And I've exercised my faith muscles instead of the natural muscles. But don't kid yourself. He's a man. I'm a man. He's got two arms. I got two arms. He's got two legs. I got two legs. He's physiologically identical to me in every way as a male. But it's just that he's put priority on certain things that I have not. And whether you realize it or not, I told the guys, I'm better than that guy." Only joking. But you understand what I'm saying? We have got... that understanding that God has given to us in this last day. And if we really believe it, the only thing left to do is to exercise our faith unto it. Because you know what? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And God wants us to believe it with all of our heart. And one day we shall be changed. We're going to be taken out of here. This is not just Wednesday night. This is not just a group of people who have straggled and stumbled into this church. You're underneath the hearing of this message that God reserved for the very last day, in which is rapturing faith, enough revelation for your body to be changed and taken away in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. For you to be able to look at death's door and walk around it and say, "That's not for me at all. I got a revelation. I'm going to live. I'm going to be like Enoch, and I'm going to walk around this door and go on the other side. I'll just bypass that, thank you, and I'll go this way, because we have a testimony that we please God." Let's stand to our feet. And that's what God gives to us in this last day. It is a final voice that God has chosen to put in the bride of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, there's no one would love to be able to sit back and have Brother Branham preach more than me. You may enjoy that. I would enjoy it much more. Brother Anwar would probably enjoy it much more. And we'd all follow Brother Branham around the world wherever he went and listen to him preach and see the miracles and see the great things that are done. But you know what? God in his sovereign will chose that Brother Branham would not be here in this time. So he left a Revelation 8 to 11 ministry to minister to the bride of Christ, who becomes then a ministry of a final voice to this final age that we're living in. What a blessed people we are, really. This is not just Wednesday night, folks. This is your destiny. This is our destiny. And this is my desire to honor you. Let's sing that tonight. Key of F there. Let's sing it together. This is my desire to honor you, and Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. About the power of Jesus, I do. Yes, I do. Oh, anybody knows about the power of Jesus? I do. Yes, I do. Are you in the key of F? I go to the rock of my salvation, go to the stone that the builders rejected. Mountain and the mountain stands by me. Earth all around is sinking sand. On it rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, go to the rock. Yes, I go to the rock of my salvation. Go to the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. Earth all around is sinking sand. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, go to the rock. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that we can have a real, true, solid rock that we can anchor to. And we know that that anchor holds, Lord, in the midst of all the trials and storms of this life. Even the turmoil we go through internally, personally, the troubles and trials we face and the burdens we bear. And sometimes, Lord, the places we get into where we don't know what the solution is, we just can't see it. But, Lord, we do believe that with you all things are possible. And, Lord, you care about us. And The thing that we always need to remember, Lord, is that we can cast our cares upon you because you care for us. Lord Jesus, we just honestly come to you in our weakness, and we just present ourselves, Lord, as living sacrifices. Because, Lord, we know in this last final hour where all the congestion, all the trouble is all gathered together, the winds of strife in this world, Lord, pointed at the bride of Christ. And, Lord, without you, we would be tossed and driven like any ship on the sea without a sail. But Father God, we depend upon you. We ask that you would just minister strength to each one, Lord, and just guide us through this week, I pray, in peace and in love and in your perfect will. We love you. We thank you, Lord, for all your many blessings. Ask, Lord, for your healing touch for those who need it. In Jesus Christ's name we ask and pray. Amen. And amen. The anchor holds. Sing it as you go tonight. Though the ship is battered, the anchor holds. Torn, I have fallen on my knees. The rain sea for the anchor holds in spite of the storm again. Oh, the anchor holds, though the ship is gathered. Yes, the anchor holds. All the sails are torn, and I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea, but the anchor. I've learned.